Welcome back to another episode of Life Lessons Unscripted. Today I have Catherine Ho speaking with me. Catherine Ho is a SAG-AFTRA actress and singer whose dreams of becoming a star came to fruition early on in her childhood. She voiced several characters on Special Agent Oso, sang in the movie Valentine's Day, and as a high schooler, placed in the top 32 in season 10 of The Voice on Adam Levine's team. And as a 19-year-old student at the University of Southern California, and under the direction of John Chu, Catherine sang the Mandarin version of Coldplay's Yellow from the blockbuster rom-com Crazy Rich Asians. Her song hit number one on the Spotify Viral 50 global chart and has accumulated over 20 million streams. Since Crazy Rich Asians, she has released her debut single Belly Aches and has since continued to release new music. She sang yet another song for the movie Wish Dragon called Endless Love and for the short Let's Eat called Come Back Home. And she made a guest appearance on Netflix's reality TV show Bling Empire to sing the Mandarin version of Yellow yet again. She also graduated from USC in 2021 with a degree in human biology and is now pursuing a career in healthcare product development and public health in addition to her entertainment career. Speaking with me today, here is Catherine Ho.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Lisa. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you. So I'm curious, Catherine, how did you even get into the acting, singing, and entertainment world in the first place?
So I was really lucky. I had a really supportive family of me pursuing the arts, which I know is pretty rare as I am a daughter of immigrants. Like, my parents were born and raised in China, and they came to the U.S. for education later in their lives. And so, you know, they really did sacrifice a lot to give me the life that I have. And I feel like along with that, a lot of like first gen immigrant parents sometimes are a little bit hesitant about their kids going to the art, rightfully so. Like, it's definitely not like a super stable or like cushy path by any means. But I was really grateful that my parents were always really supportive of me, exploring my interest and passion in entertainment and in the arts. So yeah, from a young age, my parents said that I would just listen to the lullabies until like the CD would burn out and things like that. Like, I was just always really obsessed with music from a young age, and started formalizing that training a bit more by joining choir when I was in preschool and starting piano lessons when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I started taking voice lessons when I was 9, and through like my voice teacher kind of got connected more into like auditioning for acting and like voiceover roles and such. So I was also like a side quest that I did when I was smaller. I was a child actress, and I did a lot of auditions and just kind of was always grateful to like have grown up near Hollywood and be in that space as well. From there, was really involved with like choir, and also one very formative experience in my high school years was getting to be a part of an a cappella summer program for people that were not only passionate about a cappella, but it was kind of just like a great camp for people interested in the music industry. And then I also got to do I got to participate in a season of NBC's The Voice when I was in high school as well. So these two things like really I think shaped my like exposure to the music industry. And it was actually a mentor from my a cappella program who knew someone that was vocal contracting for the movie Crazy Rich Asians. And it was kind of like a wide net at the time. They were looking for local talent in the United States who could sing a Mandarin version of the song that I ended up singing for the soundtrack. And so, yeah, auditioning for that really changed my life and opened up the door to so many cool, amazing opportunities and dream collaborations with AAPI creators and organizations that I've looked up to my whole life. So I would say like that was really the big catalyst for a lot of the professional stuff I've been so grateful to do since I was like starting college. That's kind of like a short Spark Notes version of like how I became involved in the music industry and my journey throughout the years.
Yeah, the arc of Catherine, that's quite an arc.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, were you nervous the first time you went into an audition? Like, do you remember what it was like? And, I don't know. When I started acting, it was very much like during COVID with self-tapes. So I before very often.
So I kind of phased out of the acting stuff when I was in like middle school, early high school. Kind of was just more drawn to like doing singing, and also just like I was also like a big, like very passionate about academics growing up. So high school was more just like singing in school, but I did do like a lot of acting when I was in like elementary school and middle school. And yeah, even though I don't do much acting in my current life, I think I'm so grateful for the foundation that it built for me. I think like through acting, I discovered that I have a love for like public speaking, and I think it also just like helps me so like see music and performing so differently too, as like an extension of acting and like telling the story through my music and through my performances. So really grateful for those experiences growing up. And yeah, I remember like auditions were always really nerve-wracking. But I think in hindsight, like getting used to that like stage fright and like the rejection and the hecticness at a young age, I think that really like made me resilient in a way that helped me in other areas of my life as I grew older. But yeah, I think like one specific audition that really sticks out to me is I'm sure you know this too, but a lot of times the like they don't give you a ton of time to prepare for auditions, and you kind
Oh,
of just
yeah.
have to like go with whatever schedule the casting director needs. But yeah, I think one of my early auditions was for a golf commercial, and like my agent had just sent me out on this, but I had no idea how to play golf. So my dad, bless his heart, he like took me golfing over the weekend to like try to teach me this new skill. And I did not get the audition, but I just remember it was like a really fun experience that I look back on, like kind of rushing to try my best to like become this character before an audition. And yeah, I'm like really grateful for a lot of the skills that it built in me, even though it's not necessarily like my focus these days.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the only time I tried golfing, I think I hit someone's leg, and that didn't
Oh
really
no. I
very
mean, that
well.
would be me now for sure. I've definitely lost the skill, but it's a fun memory.
Yeah, so I mean, you mentioned that you were actually on The Voice while you were in high school. Like, that was, yeah, and you've obviously auditioned, and although you phased out of acting a little bit more, you really got into your career early on. How was that like balancing a high school life? And you mentioned you were very passionate about academics. How did you manage the two and keep up with both?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I honestly don't have a great answer for this, because I definitely did struggle with like, even these days, like I am really passionate about like what I'm doing with music, but also like work a day job that's like totally not related to music. But yeah, I remember specifically in high school, this was like 2016, so it was pre-COVID where we had like Zoom and things like that for school. So it definitely was a little bit of a process, because I had to miss about like 6 to 8 weeks of school to like train and film for The Voice. But because we were minors at the time, so like I was 16, and there's like a legal requirement that you still have to be in school and all that. So we had like an on-set teacher, and my teachers at school would kind of send over the work that I needed to do. So yeah, definitely my grades struggled a little bit that year, but I think I was really grateful that my school was really supportive of me pursuing this outside of my day-to-day academics, and my teachers were really flexible if I needed a little bit of an extension here and there. And I did have like the onset school as well. So yeah, I definitely think my grades were a little bit lacking the year that I did do The Voice. But yeah, I think I was lucky that I had a really great support system with my family. Like they're also very they value education a lot, and I think my dad and mom would like help tutor me on certain like math and science subjects that were harder for me. So I was really grateful for that support system, and yeah, just having my teachers be really understanding as well about me having this commitment outside of school.
Yeah, a support system is like crucial. I totally get you there.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from school, I mean, you were at this life-changing, surreal show. Like everyone dreams to be on The Voice, and you're working with Adam Levine, like the Adam Levine Maroon 5 guy. I mean,
Yeah.
what was it like doing that? I mean, what did the experience, give you, and what did you like learn, take away from it about being a singer? Anything really?
I was honestly super starstruck. Like, I grew up listening to Maroon 5, and it was just so crazy to me. And like my parents and I would grow up watching reality shows like American Idol and The Voice. So it was really surreal to get to be a part of the show. And yeah, I think I learned a lot about just owning the stage more and being more confident on stage. I feel like I think back on like my blind audition, which is kind of like the first televised round of The Voice, and I was like shaking. I was so nervous, and I think just like being put in that situation really helped me like build confidence in my artistry. I think like I've never had another period in my life where I was so like in the day-to-day, like just training my voice. I learned so many like valuable techniques from like the vocal coaches on The Voice too. It's probably like not a huge secret to reveal this, but like you're not actually working every single day with the celebrity coaches. Like actually more often times like you're scheduling sessions with the vocal coaches like behind the scenes, and I learned so many valuable like technique tricks from them that I still use to this day. Like one is that I remember they had us like running and singing our set to like build vocal stamina. And that's been like something that I still do for before my performances these days. And yeah, I think it was just so inspiring to be in a cohort of people from all different walks of life, but like this passion and this dedication to pursuing music, like was really inspired by not only the coaches but also the contestants, and like we all come from such different backgrounds, but we're all like together and like in this crazy weird experience together. So I think it was really cool to just meet those artists, and definitely a very amazing experience that I'm always grateful for.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been crazy meeting so many people. I mean, you mentioned it was building your confidence and it's like a formative event. I mean, I'm actually kind of curious about this in a general sense. You've mentioned that you have such a passion for music and singing, and obviously that shows you were on The Voice. Was there a certain point after The Voice or during The Voice or even just any moment in time where you kind of felt that little like clicking, like, oh, this is what I love so much about music, or like this is like my style. I don't know. I feel
Yeah,
like there's always a kind of like a snap moment. I can't even snap, but there's always
that's
a snap moment for every single artist, I feel, at some point in their life.
yeah. No, that's a really great question. I'm trying to think if I like had to pinpoint that moment for myself. I think I got a lot of clarity on like why music was really important to me, actually, because I was writing my college essays kind of about what like music has done for me in my life, which kind of coincided around the time that I was on The Voice too. But yeah, I guess I don't know if I have like a specific moment in time where I was like, okay, this is what like convinced me about the magic of music. But I do feel that growing up, and even now to this day, I feel like I'm more shy and introverted, and I always felt like I couldn't like fully express myself in the way that I wanted to in day-to-day conversations. Like I would just feel like I would overthink everything and like not know how to like say things the right way. Like I just was a very awkward kid, and
There.
music for me like felt like this outlet, especially like specifically performing in front of people. It felt like this way where I could just like be the best and truest version of myself, and I always just found it very therapeutic. Like I felt like through music, I could like be a version of myself that I was so proud of, but I couldn't necessarily like communicate to other people in daily life. So yeah, I think for me, like the magic of music was really in live performances. I think just like that connection with the audience and that like overflowing therapeutic release for me was why music was so important for me. And like on the flip side too, like I am a huge fan of live music, like attending live music as well. And I'm obsessed with the way that it like brings together people for a moment in time. And like, we're all kind of like screaming the lyrics and like healing from something so personal, but like all connecting to the same lyrics. Like, I just love the way that it like inspires community and like authenticity. So yeah, I don't know if I have like a specific moment, but I do feel like there's a specific feeling that I felt when I would perform live that really drew me to music.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Like that little snap, smart.
Yeah. I guess that's like the snap. It's not a moment, but like a feeling more like for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's so cool. I even get nervous, like public speaking.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough. I just think that's so cool that, you know, you mentioned you're introverted and do you have a lot of stage fright when you get up there before you sing?
Yeah, I definitely had like a journey with like stage fright. I think when I was younger, it was a lot worse. And it depends, like certain situations now I will also have pretty bad stage fright, but yeah, I think over the years it's definitely gotten better. And in a way, sometimes when I like perform or when I speak, I actually feel like less nervous than if I'm like, you know, at like a networking event and have to make small talk with people. Like, it's a different type of pressure, maybe like a little bit more like exciting and organized, because I've like practiced for this performance and stuff. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think when I have to compete or like anytime like my technique has to be A+ is when I like tend to get a bit more stage fright. But usually if it's more just for like a performance or an event, I feel like I actually, I try to remind myself that everyone is here to have a good time, and it's more about like the magic of the live performance, not so much if I like miss, like I'm slightly flat on this one note, that kind of thing. But yeah, I definitely think the stage fright gets a bit worse if I know that I have to like record a performance to like be posted somewhere, or like if I'm competing, then it tends to get a flares up a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful also, like the idea that, you know, your confidence and your stage presence is really built by your love for music and the actual performance itself. I mean, that is incredible, I will say. Because there are people, of course, who focus a lot more on the, I guess, how do I say this, the appearance of certain things. And I just think that's really lovely that all that passion is stored in here in the heart.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet of you.
So obviously, one of your most outstanding accomplishments involves a little movie called Crazy Rich Asians. I mean, who am I kidding? It's like literally one of the most successful rom-coms of all time. And in my opinion, like revolutionary for its time as well. So, I mean, how did you mentioned that your acapella instructor or someone in the acapella community had the, like the connections to the net, but tell me about like, first, like the process of how you got into that project and what was it like working on Yellow with like the John Chu?
Yeah, it was actually a really wild story, or I don't know if wild is the right word, but just something like I never could have saw coming. But yeah, so I guess it would have to start from like this camp and what this camp meant to me. But as I mentioned, it was like an acapella summer camp, which sounds kind of niche, but if you've heard of Pentatonix, they're like one of my favorite. Yes, I like grew up being a huge fan of them, but one of the members of Pentatonix and like the producer manager of Pentatonics. They teamed up to create like a 10-day a cappella intensive summer camp for high school students. And yeah, it was a really magical experience. And PSA, if there's any like high school age audience like watching this, I would definitely encourage anyone interested in the music industry to apply for this camp called a cappella academy. But yeah, it was a 10-day summer intensive where you were kind of put into groups and would like prepare for a final showcase, but also throughout the 10 days attend like a lot of like workshops on the music industry or like different music skill sets. And yeah, it just really became something where like once you did the camp, you kind of stayed in touch with everyone throughout the year. And it's just like this growing family and a really great professional support group as well. So yeah, one of my mentors from the camp was looking for people interested in auditioning for an unnamed Mandarin TV film project. Like, he didn't know what it was for at the time. I didn't know either, but it just seemed really interesting because my parents are Chinese and I grew up, my Mandarin is actually not that great, even though people think I'm really good because that's what I sing in. But yeah, I like growing up, I was quite involved in like Thousand Oaks Chinese School where I grew up. And we would have like yearly performances to celebrate like Lunar New Year. And I would sing Mandarin music for those. So I did kind of have that skill set of singing in Mandarin. So I was like, why not? I'll just put my name in the hat. Like, I'll send an audition. But yeah, the timeline was really crunched. They like didn't tell me what it was for, but they sent me like the lyrics and like the arrangement for Mandarin Yellow, and they needed it like the next day. So it was kind of crazy because I was a pre-med college student at the time, and I remember just like falling asleep in the, like, my dorm had like a practice room, and yeah, I was like on the phone with my dad past midnight. Like, he was dialect coaching me. And yeah, I like really didn't think I did that great of a job because of all the time constraints, but submitted my audition like the next morning. And yeah, I guess they liked what they heard, and they like brought me in to do the recording. And they didn't tell me till like 30 minutes before I went into the studio what the project was for. And I was freaking out because I, at the time, like, the Crazy Rich Asians movie wasn't necessarily, like, super known to the public yet, but I had kind of heard some news headlines that Constance Wu was going to star in this film, and I was a huge fan of hers from Fresh Off the Boat, so I just was really excited and didn't know, like, where or what in the movie it was going to be placed for. But yeah, it was at the studio where I met John M. Chu, the director of Crazy Rich Asians, and he hopped in to kind of give me some notes and a little bit more context about like where it would be in the movie, things like that. So it was really amazing and surreal to connect with him. And we both graduated from the same alma mater. We both went to University of Southern California, or USC. So it was cool to have that connection. And he was just a really brilliant and wonderful person to work with. Only worked with him for like a couple hours of my life, but could tell that he's just so smart and so driven. So really grateful to have been able to work with him. And yeah, that's kind of how it all went down. It was all just kind of like, I never could have expected this opportunity. And I just got really lucky, I guess, because I didn't really have any like credits in this space at that time. But I think they were trying to get a singer from China to record it, like couldn't fly her in for some reason. So they were like open to kind of using any like Los Angeles based talent. So I feel like just so grateful that this, they like took a chance on me, and that the song resonated with people who watched the movie.
And they found a diamond. I mean,
oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I know. I actually, you know, you mentioned that you said like, oh, my Mandarin's not that good. Honey, I was like, what, 9 listening to this song and like trying to like figure out how the hell your Chinese was so perfect. I was like,
oh my God. Oh, that's very, that's so kind. I feel like I definitely like, like, I try not to, like, dig too much into the comments and all, but I do see people saying, like, oh, like, she has such a ABC accent and stuff. So I acknowledge, like, I definitely have some room for improvement, but was really grateful that they trusted me to do the song. And, yeah, just I think my, like, it's kind of catapulted my interest in learning more about, like, Mandopop and how I can incorporate, like, cultural elements in my music. It's, yeah, definitely, like, being a part of the soundtrack was really, like, life-changing for me personally and professionally.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the movie was just so special as well, just because of how culturally resonant it was with just so many people, yeah. You, me even, and just, it's a story focused on Asian culture and an Asian story. I would say, maybe I'm not an expert, but I felt like it was, like, really fresh, opposed to some, like, Western narratives and rom-coms. Like, as an Asian, you know, singer and performer, how did that feel for you, you know, to know that you were working on a film that would potentially open the door for more diverse cultures? I mean, you must have seen the movie too, I hope.
Yeah. Yes, I've definitely seen it a number of times. But yeah, I really feel that I even didn't know how much of an impact the movie would have on me personally until, I guess, after it came out and after I really experienced it in the theaters with my friends and family. But yeah, growing up, and maybe this is, like, not as much of, like, a happy story, but I feel like growing up, I mean, as you know, Thousand Oaks, there's not a ton of, like, Asian culture, or just, like, you know, it's a mostly non-Asian community. And I think growing up, I always, like, kind of was almost embarrassed of my culture, or just felt like, oh, it's, like, cooler to fit in with the white kids. Like, that was, like, my ideal of, like, what it was cool to be. And so I would say, like, I, like, hated my Asian culture. Like, I definitely, like, was so grateful to be a part of, like, the Chinese school community. And, a lot, most of my friends were from, like, Chinese school and stuff. But I feel like I always kind of put on a pedestal, like, the blonde haired, blue eyed, like, that's, like, what, like, beautiful is. And I think I grew up just not really embracing, like, what's so special about being Chinese American. But yeah, it wasn't until, like, seeing the movie and seeing people that looked like us portrayed as, like, main characters and, like, you know, like, leading men and stuff like that in theaters, they really instilled in me a pride in my own culture that I didn't necessarily have growing up. And yeah, it just really showed me the power of representation for building a young person's confidence. So I was, like, honestly, when I first kind of recorded for the film, I was just like, oh, this is really cool, because, like, I know Constance Wu and she's, like, a big idol of mine, but didn't really, like, think too much about, like, how deeply it would impact, like, my perception of myself and my culture until maybe, like, after the release and, like, seeing it in theaters with my friends and family. So yeah, very grateful to be a part of this story and, like, even just, like, a small part of this movie that really meant a lot to me and, like, people in our community.
Yeah, I completely relate to you with that, with the whole, I guess, impact that the movie had on me. I watched it years after it came out because I was, like, seven, I think. No,
yeah, I'm nine. So young.
Yeah, I was young. Yeah. Coming out. But after watching it, I mean, I've had similar experiences, I guess, where in acting, like, I've been mainly cast sometimes as, like, I guess, like, a side character, or, like, in shows that I would watch as a kid. Like, the Asian person would always be, like, the geeky little side character, or, like, an extra in the background. And I agree, it was just very transformative to see some, everyone, actually, who was in the main cast be these stunning, amazing actors who were all Asian. And it was very eye-opening. Yeah, totally. I also put the blue-eyed blonde-haired girl pedestal as well. And I really just relate to you. I really appreciate you sharing that story.
Oh, yeah. And like, thank you for the thoughtful comments. Like, you put it so eloquently as well. Yeah, thank you for letting me share that.
Actually, the song Yellow, I read a little article about John Chu's thinking a little bit behind like making it Liu Xing. I totally butchered that. Liu Xing, like the redefining the word yellow, because I know that it's been used to kind of racially like discriminate against Asian people before, and kind of repurposing that into something beautiful. I just wanted to, I guess, know your thoughts about that kind of thinking and process, because I'm sure, I mean, you guys collaborated together when you were making the song.
Yeah, that was a really beautiful touch that I actually did not know the backstory for. Like when I was working with John about, like he hadn't shared that with me at the time. But like I kind of found out about it with the rest of the world, like when the movie came out. But yeah, it was really beautiful, like reading that letter and knowing just like how like intentional and significant the song choice of Yellow was for him. And yeah, I feel like totally resonated with his journey as well, growing up, like not always feeling super proud of his Asian identity or like making it like a joke almost, but then reclaiming it and in such a powerful way. Like, I thought that was really cool. Like, it didn't even at all cross my mind when I was recording in the studio, like the tie between like Yellow and like what that's meant for our community. But yeah, reading that letter was like so beautiful and poetic and made the experience even more special for sure.
I mean, on that topic of like Asian identity, I mean, what has your experience been like, you know, being an Asian performer in Hollywood, and knowing that there, I mean, if there are any other peers near you, that you were quite different from them? Were there any like unique challenges, even triumphs? I mean, tell me more. I really want to know.
I would say the experience, my answer to this like varies drastically. Like I would say like in the recent years versus like when I was younger. But yeah, I think like definitely when I was younger, when you were sharing as well your experiences of, oh, like the Asian girl is always like the best friend or like the sidekick. I remember that I'm a quite a tall person. Like people are surprised when they see me, or just as a kid, I was pretty tall as well. And my manager would kind of tell me like, oh, like sometimes it's kind of bad to be tall because if you're like the sidekick. Yes, I know. Like I feel like people are always confused when they're like, oh, you don't love being tall or whatever. But I think because growing up, I was told that like I can't be taller than like the main character when I'm like going to auditions and stuff like that. So it was like a very interesting angle, I guess, to view like height through. But yeah, just stuff like that definitely. Like maybe even subconsciously, I don't think I thought too much about it when I was a kid. Honestly, I was probably just like grateful that, oh, like there is a character to audition for. But yeah, looking back, I definitely, felt like maybe this was more of an internalized thing as well, but I think also just like not seeing a ton of other like immigrant families' children doing acting and in a professional sense, it made me feel kind of out of place. And I remember I would kind of lie to all my friends about like where I was going if I was missing school because I thought like people would judge me for like, oh, like wanting to chase a certain dream where like people who looked like me weren't really part of like the part of the main narrative. Looking back, I think a lot of that was just like my own insecurity as a kid, but also probably part of that was kind of like the lack of representation of like Asian Americans in the day-to-day of auditioning and what I was doing. So yeah, I think when I was younger, it was definitely like that sentiment was there more of just feeling a little bit more out of place. But yeah, I would say like in recent years, I've felt like really embraced. I feel so much more like proud of just like sharing parts of my culture through music. And I feel like it's become a lot more accepted. Like obviously we still have such a long way to go with like diverse and true accurate representation. As Asian Americans, we're such a large diaspora with so many diverse experiences. But yeah, I would say like in recent years, I've been really grateful to have been able to connect with a lot of other AAPI creatives and musicians, and like feeling like we all have each other's back and like kind of understand that shared struggle. So yeah, I would say recent years have been a lot more confident in just like showcasing my pride in being Chinese American through my music or my art. But growing up, it was a little bit more like, oh, I should kind of like just try to fit into whatever was like the main narrative at the time.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, I unfortunately do relate in a sense that I know that, you know, we live in a world full of stereotypes. And I think in many people's minds, I mean, it's almost as if on top of being like Asian and people expecting, you know, you to be like really good at math or really good at science and really smart. Like if you are someone who is really arts oriented, it's like the attitude is almost as if like you can't really have both. And I think it's, I think we can all have everything. We can all try it all. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you don't fit any stereotype. I feel like nobody truly fits a stereotype, but have you encountered, I mean, people thinking certain stereotypes about you, or I guess like also your support system, like your family, while you were, you know, pursuing an entertainment career? And how did you handle that, whether personally or directly to them?
Yeah, I will say I feel that maybe this is just me being really lucky with my support system, or just me being a little clueless and not really like paying too much attention to what people were saying about me. But yeah, I actually felt like really supported, like by my family, and which is, I know, super rare for, like immigrant children to like have such a robust support system. So yeah, I always felt really encouraged by my family to, do like whatever it is that I wanted, like not only with like acting and music, but I also, I guess, kind of fit the stereotypes of like, I always loved school growing up, and my parents both work in like STEM science field. So I was also really passionate about that growing up, and still am. But yeah, I would say like, honestly, a bigger insecurity of mine has more been in recent years feeling like imposter syndrome, that I can't, like you said, like I can't really be like both different types of identities. Like, okay, like either I should be like a full-time artist or just like really focus on like the science and like the academic stuff, but that somehow like exploring all of those passions means that I'm like less of one or the other. So I definitely still struggle with that, and like struggled with that a lot in like college and grad school, just feeling like I have to specialize in something. I can't really like explore all my passions. But yeah, I'm starting to learn that like being a multi-hyphenate or multi-passionate person is, I feel like, especially like with like our generation, Gen Z, like it's a lot more encouraged to like try a bunch of different things and really like be your most authentic self. Or maybe that's just my perception, as like social media has made it easier to connect with like people of all different types of interests. But yeah, I'm learning to embrace that, like, I don't have to fit into one box. And it's like, just because I'm really passionate about like, you know, my like healthcare side of my life, like, it doesn't mean I have to give up music, or like vice versa. And I'm feeling like a lot of the lessons even that I've learned as a musician and as an actress have like helped me in like my corporate job in healthcare too. Like, it's kind of interesting sometimes how different identities can like actually strengthen each other. So yeah, that's something that I've been like trying to lean more into as I like progress throughout my adult life.
Yeah, that's actually amazing. I think that's really, I keep saying the word beautiful, but that's truly what it is.
Thank you.
Also, I realized also like your parents also don't fit into the like the little boxes. They also can both support an academic journey and an arts one. Like, I think that is also in itself really cool. Like, your parents are not the typical, like, I don't know, like Asian, like the hawk
tiger. Yeah, the tiger parent. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think I always say that, like, if you know, I don't know if this like dates it's me or not, but this like one TikTok trend from a while back that's like, if you like, if I won the lottery, there would be like, there'd be signs kind of thing. But I think like, if I were to, I tell people like, if I ever won the lottery in my life, I feel like it was with like my parents and my support system. Cause I like, truly, there's so many different things to me. Like they're my mom and dad, of course, but yeah, they're also just like my managers too for music. Like I'm an independent musician, but they like really wanted to be involved, like genuine, like I bounce content ideas off of them. They like help me work through logistics for my performances and events and stuff like that. And they're also just like my best friends who I can like, you know, cry about a boy too, you know? So like, I feel like they're just so many different roles in my life. So yeah, I'm really grateful that, and like the more people that I talk to, the more I realize like how rare it is to have parents that like fill so many of those roles. So I definitely feel that like my parents don't kind of fit into a typical box of like what people think of, I guess, when they think of like, you know, like immigrant parents and being really strict and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, I also agree. Like my parents are also STEM. I mean, my mom's an optometrist, my dad's an engineer.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, like people joke about this a little bit, but it's kind of true. What most people are probably thinking is also like, how do they get you?
Yeah,
where did the creativity come from? They're like, where did it come from? And
yeah,
I don't know, but I'm glad.
Are your parents like creatively like hobbyists at least, or like you really don't know?
You would expect, right? I mean, my mom always says like, yeah, I was such a performer growing up. I loved like giving performances to my stuffed animals. I'm like, that counts.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. I actually was thinking a lot about the stereotypes a lot more. And I realized that an attitude that I've come across a lot is like this. Obviously, you're very STEM focused as well as you are arts, and there's obviously there's so much room in the world to have everything, but I feel like for me at least, growing up now as like a child actor and, you know, being in entertainment, and obviously you've had a high school experience growing up as well, I've always felt as if among some people in the Asian community, as well as what other people seem to think about the Asian community, that like, there's this like, I don't know, this underlying prioritization of STEM related majors and STEM related like life paths and hobbies, that I feel like there's always been this idea that like artists for some reason are not successful or are not like, I don't know. I feel like there's just like a lack of pride in my opinion about being an Asian artist. And I don't know, you're a proud Asian artist, and so am I. I mean, I just want to know what your perspective is on that.
Yeah, that's really, I'm so glad we can like relate on so many things. Cause I think, yeah, when you were asking me earlier of like, what did other people kind of think about you pursuing this? I actually feel like externally, I've been really lucky to have a lot of support system, but it was maybe almost like an internal thing that I was giving myself this pressure, maybe because of like our cultural upbringing that, yeah, like you have to, like, you know, be like stable in this and that, or it's just like STEM careers are more stable, things like that. So I definitely had that like pressure a lot, like put on myself. But yeah, I think that it is, yeah, I don't know if I have like a pretty answer for that, but it's definitely something that like I still like kind of struggle with. And I don't know if it's just like who I am or if it is influenced by, again, as you said, like that underlying cultural upbringing, even if it's not like someone telling you directly, but it's just like the community in which we grew up in. So I definitely like feel you and like feel that pressure as well.
Yeah, I think in those times and that environment, it's so important to stay true
yeah.
And hold fast. Is that what it, stay true and hold fast to what we love and what your passions are. I think, like I said before, I already said this, but I think we can all have everything we want in the world. And that's,
oh, I love that. Yeah. That's amazing.
Okay, wait. So I know you graduated from USC and you're a smart cookie. Were you still, making your music and performing during school? And I mean, I know you're doing both now with your career, as well. So you've kind of been living this like double life. Does the experience of having 2 feet in two different worlds like give you like any new perspectives or teach you anything?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and something that I'm still learning to lean into and find the connections between. But yeah, I think definitely I actually like kind of my decision to pursue the so basically I got my undergraduate degree in biology because I thought at first I wanted to be a doctor, like go the pre-med path. So my undergraduate was really focused on just like the science and like the molecules side of healthcare, stuff like that, which I did enjoy, but kind of decided that, being like the lifestyle of being a doctor wasn't for me, but I was still always really passionate about healthcare as a field. And so yeah, I was kind of thinking like at a crossroads, like when I graduated, because I was really interested in like doing something with healthcare, but not sure exactly what. But yeah, my decision to pursue a master's in public health, which is like the graduate degree, I got a master's last year in this field. That actually kind of stemmed from more of my involvement in music. And it kind of sounds totally unrelated, but after getting to sing for Crazy Rich Asians, I just had like a bunch of really cool opportunities to partner or perform for various nonprofit organizations that were doing like galas or events to raise money and awareness for different social justice issues within the AAPI community. And I remember there was some that like had to do with healthcare as well. And it was in these kind of environments that I had like this aha moment where I was like, oh, like there is like an overlap between like art and community and like social justice slash healthcare. And so I started kind of looking into the field of public health, which is a very broad field, but it's basically looking at healthcare from a broader lens, including I know this is like kind of technical jargon, but like social determinants of health. So like our health is not just like what we do in the hospital. It's like in our day to day, it's like in our communities. So yeah, I think like these events where I kind of saw the intersection between like being a musician, but also like partnering with like healthcare organizations, got me thinking about like healthcare in a more holistic sense. And that's what inspired me to pursue my master's in public health. So yeah, I guess in that sense, that's like a one direct way where music like kind of unintentionally like crossed paths with like my interest in like healthcare and community building.
Yeah, but well, that's really cool that like our health is not only limited to the like what we think of, what we typically think of as. That's really cool. I'm gonna keep that in mind the next time I do anything.
Yeah, for sure.
So after being in the entertainment industry for so much of your life, and after getting in touch with your culture through Crazy Rich Asians and just that entire experience, and also having graduated with a master's and a bachelor's, like being a smart cookie again, what would you, if you had to describe, what would you describe as your goal now for your future career?
Yeah, that is a great question and something that I feel like I am still working through. Yeah, I definitely feel like so I'm 25, about to be 26, and I definitely feel that like quarter life crisis kind of hitting me because I am very like I do enjoy like the day job that I do in like kind of like healthcare product development. But yeah, definitely like still like love to do music. And this is like my first time in my life really working full time. I think it was a little easier to balance like music in the mix when I was like a student. Like things were a little bit more flexible and such. But yeah, I'm honestly like that is a good question. I'm still figuring it out. I guess right now, how I like to think about it is Like it's kind of like two different sides of my brain. So, like if I do like the 9 to 5 in this one side, like my more like scientific mode, and then like getting to do art feels like another outlet that I can express. And yeah, I definitely feel like, this is still like very early phases, and, don't like quote me on this because I'm still just like figuring out where this all intersects and stuff. But, yeah, I've definitely thought about like in my day to day, I kind of deal with like more like management and like business side of things. And then in my music, it's like more creative, but I'm also kind of thinking if there's like an intersection where I can like get more into like the entrepreneurial side of music and, yeah, like content creation as well. Or, yeah, I think I'm still kind of figuring out like where it all intersects, but I do feel like I am like, there's definitely overlap in like what I love about both fields. And I hope to either continue doing both of them in like a capacity that makes me feel fulfilled, or finding like a way to combine the two interests in like maybe like more of like an entrepreneurial capacity.
So as a final little question and a little food for thought, if you could give a piece of advice to any aspiring performers or even your younger self, what would it be?
Ooh, okay. I might have to think about this for a second. So piece of advice. Yeah, I would say this is advice that I struggle with, but I like want to prioritize and is like one of my active goals. But I feel like growing up, I was kind of a like perfectionist, not a perfectionist. I feel like that word definitely does not describe me because I'm like pretty chaotic, but I think I was kind of like scared to fail slash like currently I still struggle with this where yeah, like I'm like, I have to put out something perfect before like, and like, I feel like worried about like if something doesn't perform well on metrics and things like that. But I've definitely felt that it's like, I know they say like quality versus quantity, but I think that my advice is like quantity over quality when you get started, and like through just like throwing things out there and like trying a bunch of different ideas, that's like only when you will get to the quality, because you have to like fail a bunch of times in order to get something that sticks. And so I think one thing that I want to be more diligent about is like prioritizing consistency. Like, okay, like I promised myself I'm going to like post this many things or like reach out to this many people, instead of like waiting for a perfect opportunity to put out like something that I think is like perfect, but really I probably would have put out something better if I had just done like 5 different bad versions of it. So yeah, I think it's something that I'm still working on, but like that would be my advice, is just like prioritize just pushing out or like doing as much, failing as much as possible. And that will like naturally lead to like the best quality stuff that you make.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I mean, miss all the shots you don't take. That's
yeah, so true.
All right. So it's time for the game.
Okay, cool.
At the end of every podcast episode, we play a little game with our guests. And today we're playing Lyric Tinder.
I know. Ooh, okay, that sounds fun.
I'm going to read you some random lyrics from some romance songs. Some of them might be a little old, but I like the old songs. And you're going to swipe left, which no, ew, whatevs, or right, if it's like an OMG yes. And that's ooh, based okay. on whether you actually would like to hear them in real life.
Ooh, okay. So like if someone were to like say this to me on a date or something.
Yeah, like would you?
Okay. Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Wow, I like this concept.
Okay, so 17 of them, but they'll go by pretty quickly. First one.
Okay.
Every breath you take, every move you make, this is going to sound weird. Every step you take, I'll be watching you.
That's so funny. Wait, I'm so sorry. Is swipe left no or
swipe left?
Right? I've actually no. Okay, that definitely swipe left. Like if someone told me that, I feel like unless we've been like exclusively dating for like years, I feel like that would be not a first date, a good first date pickup line for sure.
What a creepy. Like, it's giving me, what's it called? The show, like You, like the really horror.
Yeah, that's so
That
true.
was Every Breath You Take from The Police, which is
Yeah.
a good song. A little creepy. All right.
Yeah.
Next one. There is nothing for me but to love you and the way you look tonight.
Oh, okay. I think I'm kind of like a hopeless romantic, and I feel like I swoon for that kind of stuff. So, yes, swipe right on that.
Wow. So Frank Sinatra. Thumbs up.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
All right, the next one. If I was invisible, I'd just watch you in your room.
Ooh, it's like a little bit giving like the first song creepy vibe, so probably swipe left on that
One's called Invisible by Clay Aiken, I think.
one.
Yeah, I'm
Okay,
not calling
cool.
out these artists to shame their work, but it's just.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. Like some of our favorite songs, the lyrics are like quite unhinged, but you don't like think about it because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, you're just like the melody's good enough. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, the next one. I destroy myself just for you.
Ooh, I destroy myself. Ooh, that is like a little intense, but I feel like if it's like, okay, I would say like swipe left if it's like an early first date thing, but if it's like, you know, someone who's like, I'm about to marry or something really serious, then like, I feel like that's pretty endearing.
Yeah, giving like mafia like romance.
Yeah,
The
exactly. Dramatic and
song's literally called Destroy Myself Just For You by Montel Fish. So, I mean,
okay, cool, nice.
I think you're gonna know this one pretty well. I think most people will. Wise
Okay.
men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Oh, I feel like yes, like swipe right. I feel like I've like performed at a lot of weddings in the recent years, and like that one is a really popular song, and it makes me tear up. So I have to say yes just because I love that song.
Yeah. Didn't it also, I think it, I swear it played in Crazy Rich Asians at some point. Like, I
It
swear.
did, yeah. It's actually funny because people, when I tell people, like, oh, I was on the soundtrack, they like are like, oh, did you sing that song? Like, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Like, that was Kina Grannis. Like, I love her, but that was like my favorite scene in the movie. I like always cry when the song plays during the wedding scene.
Yeah, I look like a crazy person on the airplane watching it, like.
How
Yeah.
good.
Okay, the next one is called, oh wait, called, sorry. The next person says, "Hey honey, you could be my drug, you could be my new prescription."
Oh, I actually know this one too. Yeah. I actually say swipe right on that because I feel like it's like quirky. I like it. I like the metaphor.
My brother listens to the song a lot. It's the Everybody Talks by Neon Trees.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
All right, the next one. Heaven is a place on earth with you.
Oh, I think swipe right. That one's like really endearing too.
Cute. That one's Video Games by Lana Del Rey. She's very romantic.
Oh, okay.
Love
Nice.
music.
Yeah.
All right, eight. I'd rather die young than live my life without you.
Ooh. Yeah, I feel like it's also kind of like intense. It's giving the mafia vibes, but I do feel like this is like endearing overall, so I will swipe right on that.
Okay. This song is Rather Die Young by Beyoncé. Who knew?
Oh, okay, nice.
All right, the next one. Oh no, I don't need you, but I miss you. Come here. It's a popular one right now.
Ooh, okay, I actually don't know this song. Yeah, I think it's cute. I'll swipe right on that.
I don't need you, but I miss you. That one's
Oh,
called.
wait, what? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's called Love Me Not by, I'm gonna mispronounce her name, Raven Lanae.
Oh, okay. It's
You've probably
popular
heard
now.
it on TikTok. You've probably heard
Okay,
it.
I probably, yeah, if I listen to it. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Nice.
I feel like you're gonna know this one too. You'll be the prince,
Okay.
I'll be the princess. It's a love story. Baby, just say yes.
Yeah, I'm a really big Taylor Swift fan, so swipe right even just for that. Like if anyone is a Swiftie, like automatic green flag for me.
Also, like, You call me a princess? Like, okay, hit me a ring.
Yeah, exactly. Miss Smith, she like knows her romance songs for sure.
The Romeo Juliet thing, if it was happy, is goals.
I know.
Okay, this one's kind of ridiculous. Tell your boyfriend, if he says he's got beef, that I'm vegetarian and I ain't fucking scared of him.
Oh, okay. Dang. So if someone said that to me, it's kind of like, it's kind of intense, but I feel like I like the metaphor. I feel like I like a good, like a comparison or like an artistic symbolism. So I guess I would swipe right. I wasn't sure on that one, but I think I would swipe right.
You know what? I love that. I love that. I love that. Okay. Okay, the next one. Pretty girl, you make everything feel all right.
Oh, I like that a lot. Very wholesome, sweet, direct. So I will swipe right on that too.
Ew, it's, what's his name? Jake? His user, like his, oh. His name is like the Jake with the V. Like the Jake.
Yeah, I love his stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, the next one is, baby, I'm yours, and I'll be yours till the stars fall from the sky.
Oh, I feel like I'm being too easy on all these, but I feel like I'm like a hopeless romantic, so like that one would get me too. I would swipe right.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in most of these, they can be romantic as long as you view them in the right way. Like,
like if someone's like pulling up to a first date saying this, like I'd probably swipe left on most of these. But if it's like someone that I like really like too, then maybe it would be different. I agree. It's all depending on the context.
Yeah. Honestly, the ones about dying, like if someone said that to me, I'd be like, are you okay? But I love you.
Yeah. Like I hope you do not like, don't hurt yourself for me or anything.
All right. The next one. If the world was ending, I'd want to be next to you.
Oh, yeah, that one's a good one. I will swipe right on that. That's the Bruno Mars Die with a Smile, right? Oh, love that one.
So good, so good. All right, we're down to our last three.
Ooh, okay.
Because there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep.
Oh, that is cute. I think... yes, swipe right. And I also feel like because music is like a really big, like, it's like my love language is like making playlists for my friends or, like I think a lot about like what different songs like mean to me and like my relationship with people. So I think if someone like thinks of me when they hear a song, like that's immediate green flag.
Yeah, the memories are so attached to songs. I completely agree.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Second to last, when everything's meant to be broken, I just want you to know who I am.
Oh, I think I know this one too. Yeah, I like this one as well a lot. I think it's very romantic. Swipe right.
It's a little emo, not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's true. Very intense too. Like, again, depending on the context.
For sure, for sure. Okay, you're definitely gonna know this one because it's yours. And you know, for you, I bleed myself dry.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I do think I have heard that song before. Yeah, I think similar like category of like very sweet as like a wedding vow, but like maybe a little too intense if it's like someone I just met kind of thing. But I would say swipe right on it overall.
Well, it was lovely to have you today, Catherine. You can all support Catherine by listening to her music on all streaming platforms and by following her Instagram and TikTok accounts at It's Catherine Ho, which I will actually do probably right after this. Catherine, thank you so, so much for being here. It was such a pleasure, and I'll see you all next time on Life Lessons Unscripted.